Next on FM 91, we invite you to join host Ryan Sargent for an episode of Bengal Buzz.
Support for Bengal Buzz is made possible through funding from ISU Credit Union. ISU Credit Union is providing financial solutions to members from their offices in Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, and Burley. Services include mobile and online banking, mortgage loans, auto loans, and more. Modern financial support provided for you in a caring, member-friendly environment. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ryan Sargent. Welcome to Bengal Buzz tonight. I am so excited for tonight's episode. As everyone knows and is well aware and probably getting sick of the political talk, our national election and our local elections take place tomorrow, Tuesday. Be sure to go out and vote. Idaho does have same-day registration, so even if you're not registered to vote, show up to the polls with a photo ID and a bill, you know, indicating that you live where you say that you do. And go out and vote. Polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. In Idaho. So get out and exercise your right to vote. But I'm excited for tonight's episode because we have two great Bengal alumni, one a Democrat and the other a Republican, who are going to talk to us about why they choose to be a Democrat and a Republican, respectively. And I'm enthusiastic and excited. But we have on the phone right now Rebecca Iyer. Hey, Rebecca, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing great. So excited to have you on the show. Rebecca and I have actually known each other for a long time, like since we both...
20 years.
Yeah, I think from like the day after I graduated high school, we've known each other.
Didn't mean to age you like that.
No, excited to have you on. Rebecca is a Democrat, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about the Democratic Party and the candidates that are on the ballot tomorrow. But Rebecca, first of all, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
All right. I'm Rebecca Iyer, as you said. I'm a former ISU student. I was born and raised in Pocatello, so I've lived here now for 38 years. I'm a mom and a widow. I have three sons, one who just graduated and two who still attend school here in Pocatello. And I'm working as a librarian and voting Democrat.
Very cool. Man, you are aging us. You have a son that graduated high school already?
Isn't that crazy?
And what is he up to now?
He's working construction. He seems to really like it and pretty proud of it.
Oh, very cool. Well, should we get right into it? When did you first become involved in politics?
Well, I first became interested when the first time we voted, well, the first time I voted, would have been the 2000 election, which was kind of a strange time to have be your first time. So that kind of caught my interest, but I wouldn't say I really got involved until Obama's first presidential campaign in 2008. That he was kind of inspiring, so that got me motivated.
Is that the time that you kind of, you know, discovered that you were leaning left of center, or, you know, were you a Gore voter in 2000?
I did vote for Gore, but to be honest, in 2000 I was 18, and I think I voted for Gore because he wasn't Bush. I don't think I really knew anything about anything. and so I should back up. I voted for Kerry too, but I don't think that I considered myself left-leaning until Obama. I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't with as much thought until Obama. I was pretty young.
Okay.
So I don't think I considered myself left-leaning until then. And I always kind of tried to take the issues for what they are and not really think in terms of party. Uh-huh. That was never intentional. It just sort of seems like Democrats have always spoke to my heart and kind of supported the things that I care about. And so I ended up being a Democrat, but it wasn't really intentional.
Uh-huh. So what are those party issues that inspire you to be active with the Democratic Party and a Democratic voter?
You know, the biggest thing for me, well, there's a few things. I think healthcare is obviously a super important issue. I think Democrats, they tend to talk about healthcare and the economy in terms of how it can help people. I think they tend to lead with a little bit of empathy, and that really appeals to me.
So tell us what has... You know, since 2008, when you've decided to become a Democrat or more committed to the Democratic Party. How has that impacted your outlook on the world and your life?
Well, I spent a lot of time working in voter outreach and doing some phone banking, calling different people before elections. And I've had the chance to talk to a lot of different voters from different backgrounds and shared ideas with those people. And I've been given the opportunity to kind of see how those politics affect people's everyday lives. And I think it's made me more compassionate. And it's really strengthened my desire to support candidates who really try to support building people up and solving the problems that they face in their everyday lives.
That's really cool. And we should also mention, I probably should have mentioned it when I was introducing you, that you have been a precinct committee person for the local Democratic Party and worked on a few campaigns, including Richard Stallings' last campaign for Congress, which, you know, Richard's a great guy to know and teaches here at ISU. Anything else that you've done with the Democrats?
I worked for the local Democratic Party for a little while. Just doing voter outreach, registering people to vote and kind of getting out there and doing, you know, parades and what's it called when you go door to door? I can't think of the word right now, but
oh, I don't know.
Voters is the point. So
get out the vote type stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's got to be really rewarding.
It is sometimes. I mean, we are in Idaho, so Democrats aren't always the most popular, but for the most part, it's pretty rewarding.
Yeah. Pocatello's been a friendly place for the Democratic Party, though, historically.
It has been, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Democratic candidates that we'll see on the ballot tomorrow? Let's start with the local candidates. Anything you'd like to say about them and why you support them?
Well, James Ruckde, who is he's running, I think it's Idaho House District 29B, maybe.
I know it's District 29. I don't know which seat it is.
I don't know that it matters, but
Elaine like Smith's James. Current seat that she holds.
Yes. You know, he was born and raised in Pocatello. I think he has a pretty good grasp on local issues. And I know he intends to work towards solutions kind of across party lines. And I think that's really important. He also places a lot of priority on seeking to better public education. I've seen a few places where Idaho has been ranked pretty low in education, and it would be kind of nice to see that change. And I know he's also talked about protecting public lands, and I think that's really important too. We have a really beautiful state, and I would hate to see those public lands disappear. A couple other candidates, Mark Nye, I think he's another District 29, but I know he cares a lot about education, which is something I really want to see supported in the state. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Mark and kind of working with him at the Democrats. And he's always been really willing to listen. And that's important to me. He seems to be someone who takes the concerns of others really seriously. And I appreciate that. And Chris Abernathy, I have not met him, but I checked out his website. He talks about diversifying the Idaho economy while protecting traditional industries, which I think is important. And job growth is always an important issue. And I really like his focus there. That's a couple. Right. I don't know if you want more.
No, that's awesome. I think there's a commissioner race that's contested, right, with both a Republican and a Democrat on the ballot.
I think it's commissioner. It's Lisa Alexander.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've liked what I've heard her say about attracting jobs. She's talked about being proactive in her approach instead of kind of just planning for things as they happen, which I think is a good way to do things. That excites me a little bit. So.
Cool.
No, there's not a whole lot out there about her that I've been able to find, but.
All right, let's talk about the race that's definitely on every American's mind, the presidential race. Why are you voting for Joe Biden?
You know, I have felt pretty left out in the cold by the current administration. His attempts to dismantle my health care and the handling of the coronavirus and the lack of empathy that he shows for people, you know, I feel confident that Joe Biden will take a different approach. I think one thing that a president should do is to lead by example. And Joe Biden has handled great loss and grief in his life with grace and dignity. And I think that's very relatable to a lot of people right now, especially with COVID-19 and all the loss that we're all collectively feeling. I also think that a president should work to bring us together and not to tear us apart. And I feel strongly that Joe Biden will try to be the type of president that is the president of the United States and not just the president of the blue states or the red states. You know, he seems to have a lot of empathy for people And although he spent his career in Washington, I feel like he has more concern for Americans and the issues that affect our daily lives. I think unity is really important, and as we tackle our problems as a country, I found most people, no matter how they identify themselves in terms of party, most of us have common ground, you know, more than we realize. Mm-hmm. And I think if we stop reading the comments on social media, start having real conversations, we're going to find a lot more common ground. And I am tired of, you know, tearing each other down. I want to start working together. And I think Joe's someone that will help lead us to do that and get us kind of back to a place of unity.
That's such a great message. Thank you for sharing your reasonings in that regard. So we have about a minute left. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we'll be spending 12 minutes with you and then 12 minutes with a Republican. So to keep it fair, knowing that you've got about a minute left, if you could speak to those on campus, we've got a lot of students. They're probably listening to this show. It's their first time voting, and they may not know a ton about politics or about how to get involved. What would you say is the most important step that they should take to become more informed and involved in the political process?
You know, I would suggest subscribing to at least one local paper and one national newspaper. I know they usually offer student rates. I also think that the most important thing you can do is just talk to the people around you. Find out what motivates those people and what they want from their representatives. Talking to your friends and neighbors and your relatives will give you a pretty good picture of how politics can affect lives and how we can solve problems.
Thank you so much for calling in tonight and being on the show. Rebecca, this has been great to be able to talk to you, and I appreciate your insights and your advocacy. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck tomorrow as the results come in.
Thank you. I'm excited. It'll be fun.
All right. Thank you so much. We've just wrapped up with Rebecca Iyer, who's a Democratic activist here in Pocatello. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back on with our Republican guest.
Get continued access to local news and all the programs you enjoy through the Listen Live link at KISU.org, or try using your web-connected Amazon or Google smart speaker with the command Play KISU.
Welcome back to Bengal Buzz. We just wrapped up with Rebecca Iyer, who was our Democratic representative for tonight's episode. I'm excited to have in studio with us tonight Terrell Tovey. Terrell is a precinct committeeman here in Banta County for the Republican Party. He's also the regional chair of the Republican Party and is serving as a Banta County commissioner. Terrell, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners?
So I'm originally from Pocatello. I'm an alumni of ISU of 2014 and 19. I received my master's from here as well. I'm an Army officer. I teach ROTC at ISU in the morning
cool.
time.
I didn't realize you did that.
I am affiliate faculty. Cool. I'm a captain still. Hopefully we'll make major.
And, are you out there doing the PT with them?
I try to keep up with those young guys and gals. It's a tough one.
Good way to live till you're 100. Just go out and... Do PT with ROTC, everybody.
And anybody out there that wants to come join ROTC, come on out with us too as well.
So, yeah.
But proud Bengal alumni and somebody who's been involved in politics for a good long while now.
You know, let's talk about that. What got you involved with politics?
You know, I've always been liked politics. I've always loved the government structure. I think it all really started with a fourth grade trip to the Boise Capitol. I think a lot of us took that, and I got to sit in the president pro tem in the Senate's chair and the Speaker of the House's chair. And, you know, that was – so I've always liked political theory and the administrative principles that guide those things. So when I got home from Iraq and Afghanistan, that's really when I started getting involved I was on a lot of active duty stuff, so I didn't have the opportunity to have a political opinion.
Yeah.
And once you get out of that, then you can. And that's really where I got started.
So when did you start to realize that you leaned right of center?
I think I've always been believed in the Republican philosophy. Growing up in my household, you know, I think I'm about the fourth generation Republican. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my dad, and my mom as well on her side. You know, a lot of it in our household, Milton Friedman, Free to Choose, that was like required reading for my household. A lot of those free market laissez-faire principles, you read Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, some of those other things, and where I identify more of the capitalist system as opposed to a socialistic system. So that really starts to drive you to the right.
Yeah, you're kind of mentioning this already, but why don't you explain to our listeners the principles of the Republican Party that have inspired you to be an active member?
A real big thing about that, if you break it down to the simplest form, is the smallest form of government, the lack of – without a interference into your life, the right of property. You know, John Locke was originally the one that said it, but life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. Mm-hmm. But then Thomas Jefferson went on to talk about that. Those are really the principles of the Republican Party. You have the freedom to do what you want to do as long as it doesn't affect my rights or my freedoms. And that's really where true conservatism goes. And that's really what I believe in is, you know, you should have the right to do what you want to do. Pray to whoever you want to pray to. Have the ability to do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't affect me or my rights.
So what about being a Republican or a member of the Republican Party? Has that changed your outlook on the world or affected your life at all?
In my first tour in Iraq and into Afghanistan, when you see people that don't have the freedom of speech, religion, or assembly, it really drives that down. You know, the right to bear arms. There are a lot of countries that I've been in that they've had civil wars and dictatorships and other things because the people simply couldn't – not only could they not assemble or speak out or have a press that was free, but they – if they did decide to go to civil war or go to those kind of extreme drastic measures, they didn't even have the ability to do so.
So let's jump into tomorrow. It's election day tomorrow. Tell us about the local Republicans that we'll see on the ballot.
So probably two that will jump out, you know, for me because I serve with fellow commissioners. There's three of us in the office. Is you have Ernie Moser that is running for District 1 that is required. You have to live in the south end of Bannock County. Mm-hmm. And then you have Jeff Huff who is in District 2, which is pretty much the north end and the Highland Hill. Those are two races that I'm watching quite heavily. Both of those individuals are ISU alumni. Ernie has a bachelor's in human resource development and management. Mm-hmm. And then
And Ernie's currently
he's actually serving as the chair right now.
Okay.
And then we have Commissioner Jeff Huff, who was just appointed, and he has a bachelor's of business from ISU. And both of those gentlemen, you know, I might be a little partisan to them, but I've really appreciated.
Well, that's why you're on the show. Because you're a partisan.
You know, they have a very good understanding and attitude of what county government is, and those are two that I'm really hoping that I get to continue serving with.
Cool. Any other Republicans on the ballot that you want to mention?
Dustin Manwaring is running in Legislative District 29. That's always a competitive fight. That's one that's being watched across the entire state. It's going to be interesting to see if he regains his seat. I think with the red wave that's going on right now, the momentum in the state, I think it sets the stage of 2016, and it looks like he'll probably get it.
That is a pretty interesting race because Dustin won that seat 4 years ago when President Trump was first elected, then lost it during the midterm election. And I think he, if my memory serves right, you can probably correct me, he won it by a pretty slim margin, like 200 votes, lost it by like 200 votes.
And I now think each one has been less than 300 either way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and now another rematch here.
Yeah, so it's, you know, hey, one more time, you know, it's an interesting race. And then always you start looking at some of the more federal races, the Jim Risch, Paulette Jordan race. You know, Mike Simpson, I don't even know the opponent that's running against Mike Simpson because that race really hasn't been competitive and really there hasn't been a lot of push on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the race that's on everybody's mind that we've heard about for at least the last 2 years, probably a little longer, the presidential race. Why have you chosen to support Donald Trump's reelection?
Again, it goes back to the philosophies of the Republican Party. We talk about limited government. We talk about limited taxation. You know, the guns versus butter argument of Adam Smith in 1776 was probably the main reason. President Trump believes that the people should spend their money, and Joe Biden believes the government should spend their money. And that's one of those core philosophies that you have. There's also social clogging issues. Both sides have them. A lot of those things, you're going to always have those. So it really comes back to philosophy, and it comes back to ideology. Both sides have it. And it really is where you believe. I believe that as you look at black unemployment rates, they're the lowest they've been ever. Latino rates are the lowest ever. You're watching as the Platinum Plan that Donald Trump's been working with Ice Cube, of all people. These are people that are actually talking about it. And when you have Joe Biden talking about, well, if I get there again, well, you've had 47 years to get it right and fix it. You were in power for 8 years and you didn't do anything about it. That's a real problem there. And so, you know, I consider myself somewhat of an outsider of the political spectrum, or, you know, outside of the political argument when I came in, and I see that with President Trump. And so I don't see why those Rust Belt states would vote not to reelect him again, because those Rust Belt Democrats were the ones that elected him. And so it's going to be interesting to see if they do it again.
Well, we will certainly – well, who knows if we'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, it'll be –
we may find out tomorrow night.
Well, we'll find out in December when the Electoral College votes. And the funny thing is the argument about how long it'll go on, every state, every county is required to canvass the vote in the United States. Whether that vote is, whatever that canvas is, that's when it is. And so the challenge is, I think it's just funny because people don't understand really how that system works. So it'll be interesting.
So let's change gears a little bit. If you could speak to those students who are on campus, a lot of them, this is their first election, their first time with the opportunity to vote. What would you say is the most important step that they should take to become more informed, and how can they get involved, more involved with the political process? What advice would you give them?
One, I would say that, first of all, they need to be able to debate the issues and not the people. A lot of times, it's interesting, people that are on the other side of the spectrum will want to debate me personally as an individual, mm-hmm. that because I'm a Republican or I support Donald Trump, that I must just be inherently racist and evil. And that's not the issue. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about issues. You know, there's Democrats that I talk to all the time. I have some very good friends that we argue about this left and right, but we're always friends. But it helps strengthen my beliefs in the Republican concepts and values of what we believe in. So first of all, I would say be able to debate issues, inform yourself, and it brings up kind of research and what you go after. And I say make sure that you understand the issues. I was in an event where an individual, she wanted a Senator Risch to support something. She couldn't mm-hmm. identify the bill number or what it was about or how it was going to affect it or who is carrying the bill. And if you're going to step into the realm, you need to be informed of what you're talking about, because that's how you get rid of all the clutter and everything else around it.
Yeah. No, that's great. And it's really interesting. You know, we just had Rebecca Iyer on the show right before you came into studio. She mentioned the same thing, that we ought to not read the comments on Facebook posts and realize that, you know, we're neighbors and that there's something greater than arguing personally with each other. So I think that's really interesting that you both brought that up.
A friend of mine that's a prosecuting attorney in Madison County, he said, you know, hitting the snooze button on Facebook is some of the best things, because it keeps you being friends with people. But when you need to take a break, you can. And so I agree with that, is, you know, you shouldn't lose friends over arguments. But, you know, be informed and understand what you're talking about when you do start talking about it.
And so how would you recommend that people go about learning about the issues? What's the best way to do that?
Don't stick to a single source. I see people that will only listen to CNN or only listen to Fox News. And, you know, I'm a Republican. I listen to Fox. I watch Fox. You know, I'll listen to Sean Hannity and all those guys. But then I'll go check out CNN or Politico or Real Clear Politics. The other thing is don't be afraid to read things that aren't what you would normally read. So, like, right now on my reading list, what I call In the Chamber, I got The Accidental Superpower. I just finished The Geography of Jobs. For Whom the Bell Tolls. I got an argument. Yeah. Was the song better than the book? Well, I'd never read the book. I'd stayed in the Ernest Hemingway hotel room. So I decided I'm having a competition. Is the Metallica song better than the book, or is the book?
What have you concluded?
I'm about halfway through, so it's undecided at this time. I just got done with the Federalist Papers. I went through, you know, everybody had read like Federalist 51 and 54 and so
on. Yeah, of course. Everyone that did Government 101 at ISU has read those.
But go through, and I actually read the entire Federalist Papers. And so now next up, it will be the Anti-Federalist Papers. And so some of those things, read things that aren't necessarily in your comfort zone, because sometimes it will prove why you believe something or why you don't. So that's probably one of the best things I can say, is be able to – don't be afraid to read things that you probably normally wouldn't pick up.
Awesome. Well, Taro, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show tonight. You know, I wish you the very best of luck in your party tomorrow, as we go into voting. And most importantly, we want to remind our listeners To vote tomorrow. Polls are open in Idaho from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Idaho is also a same-day registration state. So if you come with a photo ID and a bill proving your residence, you can vote tomorrow even if you haven't registered. So we want to encourage you to do that. You probably know the website where people can find their polling places.
Bannock County Elections. If you could just go to the Bannock County Elections website, just search Bannock County Elections. It'll come up. It'll take you right to it. You can type in your address. It'll tell you where your polling place is and who's all on your ballot.
Well, good luck, everyone. Thanks again, Terrell, for being on. And Rebecca, enjoyed having both of you. And I think you both represented your respective parties really well. And as a reminder to our students here at ISU, there is a College Republican and also a College Democrats Club here on campus. If you want to get involved, a great way to do that is to stop by the Student Affairs Office and learn who the presidents of those clubs are. Thanks again, and have a good night.
Underwriting support for Bengal Buzz comes from ISU Credit Union, with offices in Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, Burley, and Pocatello. ISU Credit Union provides a full line of services for financial solutions, including mobile banking, remote deposit, online bill payment, over 5,000 shared branches nationwide, and much more. Bengal Buzz, supported by ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.
You've been listening to Bengal Buzz with Ryan Sargent. Join Ryan on the first and third Mondays of every month at 7:30 p.m. right here on KISU for Bengal Buzz.